I felt a warmth of love that was exuding from my wife and my children to me, and reciprocating from me to them. And I started bawling, crying. I was so happy. I felt such support. I felt like, I was like, oh my gosh.
I'm Michael Chernow, and this is the Creatures of Habit podcast. Our habits will make us or break us. It's just that simple. I've lived on both sides of the tracks and have learned that the decisions we make on a consistent basis truly define who we are as human beings. On this show, I will be interviewing some of the most inspiring, motivating, and high-performing humans I've encountered to share their daily habits, routines, and rituals that help them stay on top of their game and ultimately happy. So sit back, relax, and pay attention, because what you hear over the next 30 to 45 minutes could potentially change your life. Let's go.
What up, y'all? Chernow, back again with a solo cast. I haven't done a solo podcast in a long time, so I'm excited to do one today. I've got something that I really want to talk about that some of you might know. I would argue most of you don't. Holotropic breathwork. Holotropic breathwork. Something that I might have shared a little bit about in some episodes prior to this one, but I want to dive into it deeply today because I really do feel like I've had a profound experience and I want to be able to share that experience with you all. First, I am going to have some ketone IQ from one of my favorite companies, HVMN. I love these guys. I love this product, and it just gives me, it's like brain food. And so I always do one or two shots on a podcast day. I actually love the flavor. Most people don't, but they still do it because it works. So I love Ketone IQ. Shout out to these guys. I love them. I went down to Georgia for an event in October called Running Man. It was an event that was held by Jesse Itzler and Devin Levesque from All Day Running Co. And they basically rented out an old horse racing track, mile flat track, big mile grass flat track. And in the middle of the track, they put the world's largest sauna ever built. I think it was a 200-person sauna. There was 15 sauna heaters in there, wood-fired. It was hot as balls in there. It was hot as hell. And so that was awesome. They also had like 15 or 20 cold plunges from the plunge. They had an 18-wheeler freezer truck that you could go and sit and hang out in. They had yoga tents. They had all sorts of great food vendors and brands. And the premise of the event was you sign up for the event. You sign up for a distance that you wanted to run. You can run anywhere from 5K, 7K, 10K, 20K, 50K, 100 miles. I think someone actually ran 100 miles on the event I'm almost positive. One of the, you know, world-renowned ultra runners was there. I forgot his name. I think his name is Harvey something. Anyhows, I signed up for a 10K because I'm not running much these days. But I wanted to sign up for something. And we showed up. I went with a couple of friends. We pitched our tent. And then somebody had asked me if I wanted to do some breath work. There was a breath work tent there. I've done a bunch of breath work over the years. I've done lots of Wim Hof. You know, I do sort of 5-minute breath work resets throughout the day with either box breathing or typically before I, you know, when I pull up into my driveway, when I'm coming home at night from work, I'll stop the car. I'll do a few minutes of breath work just to sort of transition from work to home balance and life. But when I got down there, they had asked me if I wanted to do some breath work. And I said, sure, let's go. Of course, I'm in. We walked over to the breath work tent. And this is like literally, I don't know, 11 o'clock in the morning, 12 o'clock in the afternoon, something like that. And there was a guy named Mike Gazzo, who I was introduced to, and he had asked me if I had done breath work before. And I had said, oh, sure, yeah, I've done breath work before. And he said, what kind of breath work? And I told him, and he was like, it's a little bit different than what we're going to do here today. So he was like, all you got to do is follow my lead. and relax and know that you're safe and, you know, listen to the music and listen to my guidance. So I said, okay, great. So we lie down, or first we kind of like did a little bit of a meditation, and then we lied down on our back, and he shared with us the breathing technique, all mouth breathing on your back, relaxed with an eye mask on, or, you know, a way to cover your eyes. So you're really sort of like in a zone. And the breath work technique is in through the mouth, into your stomach, a second breath into your chest, and then out through your mouth. So it's kind of looks like, or sounds like, if you're just listening. For 25 minutes straight. No breaks. And I'd never done anything like that before. I was excited to try something new. I was totally open and vulnerable. No one had told me anything that I would have been potentially afraid of. And I just listened to the music and started doing the breath work. And about 5 to 7 minutes in, I started to feel some sensations. I felt my hands begin to like curl into themselves, like my fingers started to like curl into my palms, which was weird. And then a few minutes later, I started to feel like my chest and my core were like kind of like numb almost. The back of my head started to feel a little numb. And then I started to get scared. And then a few minutes after that, my mouth was kind of puckered and stuck in a puckered position and I couldn't move it. And so I felt like my body was seizing up. And so I flipped out. I sat up, I looked around, no one else had been, you know, was going through this. And he saw me, he ran right over, he lied me back down, he rubbed my chest, and he explained to me that this is common. It doesn't happen to everyone. This is your body responding to the oxygen, and the energy in your body is being released. And this is a ramification of the body's response to oxygen and how the oxygen is entering into your energy system. He was like, I've got my hand on your chest and on your shoulder, you know, and I can feel the energy vibrating in your body. He was like, I'm gonna promise you that you're okay. I'm gonna ask you to breathe deeper into it. And then he said, do you have, and mind you, I'm scared. Like, I think something's, you know, happening to me, you know, health-wise, physically. And you know, if you guys know me, you know that that's like my arch enemy, fear of my health. So he asked me to breathe deeper into it. And then he had asked me, you know, do I have family? Am I married? You know, and I said, yeah, I have a wife and two kids. And he said, I want you to think about them. That's what I want you to think about. And so that's what I did. I put aside my fear of what was happening to me physically, even though my hands were like literally clenched together and my mouth like couldn't move. And I just felt like I'd felt something that I had never felt before in the moment. And it was scary, but I put my wife and my kids at the forefront of my mind, and I started breathing deeper into it. And within a minute or two, and the only way I can describe this is I also want to preface by saying I am a spiritual guy. I am an open human. I have an open mind. I will try almost anything outside of drugs and alcohol at least twice. I felt love in the purest form. I had never felt it like that before. And it's hard to explain, right? Like, how do you explain what love feels in the purest form? But I felt a warmth of love that was exuding from my wife and my children to me and reciprocating from me to them. And I started bawling, crying. I was so happy. I felt such support. I felt like, I was like, oh my gosh. This is, and you know, like everybody talks about plant medicine journeys, and this for me was just an unlock. I felt pure love and joy, and it felt like a blanket had just like been like lifted and like lightly dropped over my body. And I just started breathing more into it, and I just felt this amazing feeling of love and joy. And no one else had, you know, there was probably 15 other people in the tent and no one else was experiencing it. And everybody after a little while, you know, like they stopped, you know, the session was over. I couldn't move. I was kind of stuck crying, but tears of real true joy. Like, I felt so happy. I just felt a release of love and like a release of energy that probably was locked in somewhere that I really needed to feel. And so I sat with Mike for a little bit afterwards, and he got like real close to my face, and he was like, "That was beautiful, what just happened for you. Like, I feel your beauty in that. And you should come back tomorrow. We're going to do it again." And I was like, absolutely. And so I came back the next day, and he said, "You know, so now you know that the physical component of this could potentially happen to you again. It does happen to, you know, a fair amount of people. And typically when people experience it, they might experience it again. They might not. You might not drop right into the zone of where you were yesterday. You had a very strong reaction yesterday." So we started doing the breath work again, and within 5 minutes, boom, I'm right back in. I'm in right back in the zone of where I was the day before. And out of nowhere, I just heard a mantra show up in my head, and it just kept on saying, "You have everything you need. You have everything you need. You have everything you need. You have everything you need." And probably for, you know, 10 to 15 minutes, that mantra was just repeated in my head over and over again, and I was crying, and I felt unbelievably happy. And I felt like I needed this to happen in my life. Like, I needed this breath work to show up in my life, because I'm a founder, I'm an entrepreneur, I'm a husband, I'm a dad. And the truth is like, even though I have a lot of spiritual, you know, mindset, mental strengthening practices that I do all the time, I also have a lot of trauma that I've dealt with in the past that I'm sure has been tucked away somewhere. And I think the overdose of oxygen has activated a part of my brain that's unleashed some of these, or unearthed some of this energy that I've been stowing away, you know, stockpiling like a little fucking squirrel for the winter. And finally, this work has unearthed it. So after this session, I sat, you know, I said to Mike, I was like, "Dude, like, this is unbelievable. Like, not that I see anything wrong with crying, but I'm just not like a big crier. I don't cry like this, and it feels so good, especially because it's tears of joy, and I feel lighter. I feel just unbelievable." Groundbreaking experience for me those 2 days.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, people of all ages, Michael Chernow here, founder of Creatures of Habit and the host of this very dear podcast. Nightcap is a sleep support elixir. It is delicious. It is like a cup of hot chocolate when you were a child. It is made of zero THC, CBD, L-theanine, GABA, magnesium, reishi mushroom, ashwagandha, a little lion's mane, so you wake up chipper. It's also got chamomile flower extract. It is the bomb. All the ingredients have been scientifically studied to help you relax, fall, and stay asleep. To learn more about it, hop over to creaturesofhabit.com and hit the sleep tab in the nav bar to learn more. I'm so, so, so excited for you guys to try Nightcap. It is the bomb. I am giving a 20% discount on your first order, or your first subscription order, which is a serious discount. And use promo code KOHPOD, the number 20, for your first order. Back to the pod.
So Mike and I have been working together virtually. Now, we've been trying to be on a better cadence. He's got a busy life. He's also a father and a business owner. I've got a busy life. So it hasn't been the easiest for us to connect on a very regular cadence, but we've done about 3 or 4 sessions. And I just want to share, and this is me just, you know, you guys know that I'm completely open with you guys and vulnerable, and I like to share my life experiences with you guys. A few weeks later, we had our first virtual session. Now, I walked into this not thinking that I was going to have the same experience, because I'm in my office. I've got a little space heater in my office that is like a fake fireplace. So I was like, let me just make it cozy in here. I'm going to put down my mat, and I'm going to turn the lights off. I'm going to put on the fire and try to make this as warm as I can here in the office when I have this session with Mike. And so he said, "Hey, I need you to put on a pair of headphones. I want to ask you to lie down, and I'm going to hold the space for you, and we're going to do what we did out in the field in your office. And hopefully you know, you're comfortable enough to have an experience. And he asked me to set an intention. And I said to him, you know, I don't know what the intention should be outside of the fact that, like, I've never experienced anything quite like this before. I've done therapy on and off my whole life. I've done a lot of self-development work, the 12 steps. Nothing has really unearthed, you know, emotion like this for me. So I just want to dig deeper. I want to peel back the onion further. And he said, great, that's a great intention. So, you know, I lied down, the music started, he is verbally guiding me. And immediately, again, I dropped right in. I was right into the work, and I started feeling it physically, and I was giving the breath really, and I was giving the breath a lot of intention. I was deeply in it. And probably about 8 minutes in, or, you know, 8 to 10 minutes in, a thought came to mind. And my intention before this was like, I just want to learn more. I want to dig deeper. I want to learn more. I want to dig deeper. I want to learn more. I want to dig deeper. And then the thought came to mind, love is something I care about deeply. And there's one love that I've always wanted that I was never given. And that was the love for my father. And I felt this really intense sadness kind of wash over me because my father's dead. He's been dead for, you know, 21 years. And I never, ever was able to get that love that I wanted from him, that I've always looked for, even as a little kid, and drove me to do lots of, you know, make lots of bad decisions as a young person. But I think it was because I really did just want the love and approval from my father, and he never gave it to me, and he wasn't capable of it. And I just started to cry in sadness this time, though. It was really hard and painful. Like, I felt deep, deep sadness in this breathwork session. And I cried hard for, you know, a good 10 minutes. And then right there at the very end, something happened. Believe this if you want or not. But towards the end of the breathwork session, I kind of left my body on the floor. And if I could describe it, like if I close my eyes and think about what it was like, I don't know if I saw myself lying on the floor in my office, but I saw myself above the floor. I was above the floor looking down at me from an angle, from like a 45 degree angle. This is literally what I'm, you know, seeing here when I'm thinking back on what it was. And my father shows up like young and relative, you know, and healthy. And he's got facial hair. He's kind of got a beard. And he walked over to me and he kneeled down next to me by my head and he started rubbing my head. Like putting his hands through my hair. And he leaned over right up next to my ear. And he said, I love you. And that was real for me. As soon as I just said that, I just got this like burst of energy and emotion when I just said that right now on the pod. He leaned over into my ear and he said, I love you. And those tears of sadness went to tears of joy in that moment. I couldn't believe that that had happened. And I was seeing this happen. Like, I was like, that was actually real and happening for me in my head. Now, you can call it what you want. You know, I'm breathing heavy. I'm overdosing on oxygen. My brain is highly active because I'm really just like throwing lots of oxygen in there. But that's what came of that breathwork session. And so when we were done, I sat up and it took me a while to sort of just like calm down from the session because it was so intense. I know this sounds crazy to you guys, but this is like real shit that I've been doing. I can't say that this would work for everybody, but I'm here to tell you, I was like looking forward to sharing this story with you because it's so real for me. It's so powerful for me. Anyway, I shared with him what happened and I said, you know, I don't know if it was a hallucination or what. And he looked at me and he said, no, man, that was your father. You know, he came to say, I love you. So you got it, man. And now it's your job to continue to communicate, you know, with him. And it was just like a crazy experience. And then the second session that we did virtually was way more chill. And it was just more of like a, like, I didn't have anything really crazy show up for me, but it was like, you know, I dropped in, it was intense, and it was a little emotional, but it was way more just sort of feeling the experience as opposed to feeling a specific emotion. It was just like I was in it. But my person responds highly to this work. The next session that we had, which was actually the last one that we've done, we're trying to figure out a few more times to meet, was monumental for me. And it was right before the new year. So we haven't met in a good month. We haven't done breath work in a month or so. But we were talking about my, like, something that I want to work on and how we can use this breath work not only to unearth, you know, some trauma and emotions and things like that, but also to, like, utilize in my day-to-day life and how I can start to implement this work into my life. So, like, using what we find in these sessions as a catalyst to start making different and or better decisions or implementing new things. Anyway, I said, you know, I struggle still with presence and being present. When I get home from work, even though I am so intentional, I put the phone into airplane mode. I do a little breath work before I walk into the house. On certain days, I'm still sitting at the dinner table with my family, and I'm there physically, but I'm still struggling mentally to be there. And there are other times where I'm sitting at my desk, and I have a 3-hour chunk of time every single day on my calendar, Monday through Friday, where I don't take meetings, and it's just all about work. And there are times where I am still struggling to focus. And so I said, I just want to understand why I have this focus problem. You know, like, most people would tell me I have ADHD, but I wanna dive deeper into it and understand why I have this, like, sort of present, getting present, being in the moment issues at certain times in my life. And so he said, perfect intention. Let's figure out what's standing in the way. And we started breathing, and again, like the other times, I dropped right in. I felt, you know, physical sensations first. 10 minutes in, things started to happen. And what I saw was a vision of kind of weirdly, like, when I think about it, it showed up kind of like Japanimation. And I'm not a Japanimation guy. Like, I don't anime is like, or, you know, Japanimation has never been something I've been into. But I guess for whatever reason, this vision of what I saw was like intense and dramatic, and it was like hectic, and it was like this like hectic scene. And in front of the scene was this kid, like a, you know, 5-6-year-old kid. And the kid was standing there with his shoulders like squeezed up into his ears and terrified. And when I kept on breathing, I looked closer at the kid, and it was me. It was me as a 5-6-year-old kid. And there was, I was struck with emotion. And it hit me. That kid is the one standing in the way of me and the ability to be present, because that kid is trying to get the attention, because that kid is scared and struggling, and no one's like taking the time to focus on healing that child. All the things I did from that age on were hiding from the pain, escaping the pain, but never trying to heal it. And it was a monumental moment in my life just a month ago where I realized that I've got this child inside of me that wants all of my attention, and because it's scared. And so it stops me from being present. This is my interpretation of it. And of course, you know, it was super emotional for me to see this kid that I couldn't help. You know, I wanted to help him so bad right then and there. Like, I was like, oh my God, this is like, I never saw myself scared like that. I never, like, I was really scared at that age. Like, I was like super scared of what was going on in my life between, you know, especially with my father, but, you know, the fighting between my father and my mother and just the intensity at home was a lot, you know, and it was really scary for me. And I got stuck. I was I realized in that moment that I was like emotionally kind of stuck in that time. And when I came out of the breath work, I shared that. And Mike said to me, "That's your inner child, man. And now we know that that inner child wants your help and wants you to heal, wants you to help him heal. We are going to work on that." And he said, you know, something that you need to start thinking about is doing things that are going to make that kid feel good. Start taking action, start doing things that that kid would want to have done at that age. And I said, you know, I have two sons. I think what would be really helpful is if I start doing things with my sons that potentially that kid would want to have done with my father, me, that kid. I'm saying that kid, me. And so I made a commitment to start spending alone time with my boys one-on-one. And ideally, it's just me and one of them. You know, obviously, I'm going to split it up and spend time with Dakota alone, spend time with Finley alone, but really connect and really bond. My father never did that with me, ever, not once. I can't remember one time outside of the very end of his life. We sat down and had, I came home for Christmas. This was the last, you know, couple of weeks of his life. I came home for Christmas. I was in LA. I was an absolute mess. I was a total disaster. You know, I was trying to do this acting thing in Los Angeles. I came home from LA to be with them on Christmas, and we went out for Chinese food. And he asked me if I knew how to cry. And I was like, "What do you mean?" He was like, "Do you know how to cry? Like, can you just cry on a dime?" And I was like, "No." And he was like, "I can." And I was like, "All right." And then he just started crying. Right there, boom, at the coffee table, just like I'm at the table in the Chinese restaurant, crying like that. And now I know the reason why he's able to cry is because he had so much sadness in his life, just so much self-hatred, so much sadness that he was able to just boom, immediately just cry, think about anything, and he's crying. And so I remember that moment, but that was one of the only times that I can really think about that we spent alone time together where we bonded. So I had committed to spending alone time with my kids one-on-one because I felt like that is going to be a great, that's like, you know, we typically do everything as a family. We spend a lot of time together every single weekend, every morning for breakfast, every evening, my wife, my kids, and I are together. But I hadn't spent a lot of alone time with my kids at all. And so I knew that that was something I needed to do. And so it kind of just happened organically, but I believe God had, you know, I mean, you guys know that I believe in God, and I believe God put this in my path. We started skiing as a family. And then Dakota, my younger son, started to get tired early. And this is only the last 3-4 weeks. And so Donna would take Dakota home, and I would just be there with Finn. And then Finn fell in love with skiing. And Finn and I have been skiing every Saturday, every Saturday from 3 o'clock in the afternoon till 8 o'clock at night, and then Sundays. And it's been wonderful. And I've been able to do this with my son, and I've been able to connect with him and ask him questions and have a great time and make memories. And so all I got to say is that this holotropic breathwork, I know that this is a little bit of a rant, but I wanted to share this story. The holotropic breathwork has been massive for me. And it's a tool that I'm going to always have, and I'm going to always be able to tap into. And if you're interested in learning more about holotropic breathwork, you've got to look up a guy named Michael Gazzo, G-A-Z-Z-O. I think his company is called Unearthed. He's in Los Angeles. And just look up Gazzo, and he can help you in many ways with many different things. It's not just breathwork. Anyway, I wanted to share that because of how much of an impact it had on my life over the last few months and how excited I am to continue going down the path.
And there you have it, folks. I hope we delivered some valuable content for you to implement into your life on a daily basis. Please remember that our habits have the power to make us or break us. Replacing bad habits with great ones is the answer to living a life of happiness, optimism, and high performance. We are capable of achieving anything. We all have what it takes to give it all we've got. Commit to one great habit each day and truly commit, and watch how everything in your life starts evolving from good to great. If you enjoyed this podcast, please follow us wherever you listen to your podcasts. Give us a 5-star rating and a nice review. That will help us grow this podcast bring on more amazing guests, and continue to deliver invaluable content on a weekly basis. Lastly, please share this podcast with any friends or family that you think might appreciate it. And always remember, want plus do equals have. Until the next one, fam, peace.